Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line, Dane Gussin, who is a photojournalist and wildlife photographer. Welcome to the show, Dane.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dane, it was interesting because in looking at your photos that you've done, some of the magnificent shots that you've done as you look outdoors, and everyone thinks that this is the time of year where everything looks so ugly and all the melting snow and mud, and yet I'll bet you can get some unbelievable photographs out of nature this time of year as well.
Well, winter is beautiful because you've got the snow and all kinds of unexpected things that can happen, whereas a lot of it does not happen in the summer and spring. An example would be last week I was driving. I got out of my car, started hiking, and I ran across and I shot photos of a 70-pound coyote.
Wow. And where was this at?
In Novi Walled Lake area.
Wow, I wouldn't think that there would be coyotes running around in Novi unless there was a really good sale out at 12 Oaks.
And this guy did not look hungry.
No, he's found something.
Interesting. And Dane, how did you get into photography? Is this something that you've always done, or is this a something that evolved? Tell us the story about that.
Well, when I was a real young child, I grew up by the lake. And when the weather was bad, it was time for my grandfather to whip out the old 8mm, and we'd watch whatever he would shoot back then. And I thought the coolest part is when he'd play it backwards and everyone walked backwards and stuff. But anyway, I noticed, I noticed he used a camera. And when I was little, like I'm talking about 5 or 6 years old, with an old Argus, the kind you'd look down on it at mirrors, he would show me how to shoot photos. And I was just intrigued by being able to capture things for later on to show people. And I never was much into posed photos. I was more into just capturing a moment in time, whether it be nature or person, you know.
By the photos that we've seen, nature is a huge part. How did it lead there? I'm sure there's plenty of photographers out there that feel quite confident in their work, but don't go down that nature trail that you do. How is it that nature becomes so much a significant part of what you do?
Well, you know, I never really thought about it much till maybe about a couple years ago when I realized I grew up in a lake called Woodhull Lake, which is out by Pine Knob, as a child. And I always, you know, would go either, I never hunted or anything, but I would go fishing, I would walk there. And as I got older, and I mean much older, I found that I really enjoyed hiking. And then when I hurt my knee, I ended up taking a camera one day, and the rest is history. I mean, I started shooting photos of deer, and I noticed that I could walk right up to them. They weren't scared of me in any way, shape, or form. So it was like really interesting.
It's probably quite a bit of an experience for you spiritually, far beyond your actual profession. I would imagine you get a lot out of it yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's cool to see deer walk up to you. I mean, even in the snow, I can take photos of, and I'm being serious, 20, 30 deer. And they just sit and they look at you, and I've had points where they just walk up and watch me shoot. And because of Lyme disease and stuff like that, I don't get close. I don't feed them at any time, ever.
Right.
I'm not looking to be their buddy. I want to shoot photos. But I just find that nature is, like you said, spiritual. It's relaxing. It's a great stress release. And it's great exercise.
And what I read, you've actually figured out ways in which you can kind of have a volunteer spirit in sharing that particular experience. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I go to assisted living centers, groups of handicapped children and adults, and I've created videos where I can take them through a nature trail, Central America, the rainforest, maybe even the zoo. Places they really aren't going to be able to go physically anymore. But I can take them there through my eyes. And maybe, you know, some of them don't have it so great. Maybe I can take them, you know, somewhere for an hour where they can get away from it all and just, you know, look at different things and just take their head to a different place and watch them smile. And, you know, afterwards, I've gotten thank you notes from them. And those I treasure more than any money you could lay on me, because the money doesn't mean anything.
That's awesome.
That is absolutely awesome because as I let on in the show last week, Dane, I used to go out with my dog walking through the state park, and I told the story last week of getting lost and them sending out a helicopter and dog patrols in order to find me. But bottom line is, having the ability to wander through there, I always found it to be the most peaceful time of the day for me. And it was hard to not believe in a spiritual world when you saw the beauty that nature had to offer. But for these people who don't have the ability to do the same, for you to be able to share that with them, that's really an outstanding gift that you're providing.
Well, when you leave this earth, you leave, you know, kind of bare, nothing goes with you. The thing that people remember is what you leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
If I can leave behind not so much part of my life, but just other things that people can see and remember. And they know I did it, of course, because my name's plastered all over it. I do have a little ego. But anyway, they, you know, if I can leave something behind that they can enjoy, their kids can enjoy, or anyone can enjoy, and they get pleasure out of it, and it takes them to somewhere else, then you know what? I've done my job.
Now, Dane, when it comes to learning how to do this yourself, it sounds like you pretty much are self-taught in terms of, I mean, you said your father.
That was my grandfather.
Or your grandfather shared a little bit with you. But for people out there in our listening audience who might really appreciate nature and they see these gorgeous birds that might fly up to a feeder in their backyard or to a bird bath or something like that, what advice would you give them about how to go about capturing the nature that they can see in a way that they can share as well?
Well, the thing about photography that I've learned is I learn more from my mistakes than I learn from my successes, meaning that when I take a lousy picture, I understand why it's lousy. When I'm shooting birds or anything of that nature, first of all, they're moving at a really fast speed. And you can. You can't physically move that fast. I always tell people, buy yourself a tripod so the camera's at least standing still. And then shoot it a very high, what they call ISO, which is your speed. And, you know, you just play with it and adjust from there. The reason I say that is it could be sunny out. It could be cloudy. You may want to get the background. You may not. But it's, you know, it's practice, practice, practice. There's no shortcut. Because what I find appealing or what I like, you may not like. Right. It's all, you know, it's all perception. One man's ceiling is another man's floor.
Now, on a given week, I mean, you're such an accomplished photographer and video photographer, but how much time do you spend at this? Is this a passion where it's pretty much sun up, sun down? Do you take time for yourself? Do you have other things that you get involved in?
I have two professions. My other profession, I started in 1971. I've been a financial planner, investment advisor, insurance counselor.
Wow.
And I started that in 71. I started shooting photos in 19, I would say, like, people ask me when. I go, in the mid-50s, when I was a real young child.
Huh.
So I've been shooting now for 50 years.
Okay.
And, I mean, there is no, I've always enjoyed shooting photos. Now it's a little bit different because I look at it differently. You know, it's like when you pay your dues in anything, there's a learning process. Now when I'm out shooting nature, I don't even think about what I'm doing. You have to think on your feet. You can't teach that. It's experience. It's experience, experience, experience. So when anyone wants to learn to do anything as far as photography, shooting animals, there's no right or wrong. You just have to try and see what works for you. I mean, you know, because one shot I may like, someone else may do it another way and make them out just as nice.
Right, right, right. I always say, you know, when somebody comes into the store and they're wondering, how in the heck do you know all that stuff? And I always say, you know, after 30 years, if I don't, shoot me.
Exactly. I mean,
it's called experience. You got to.
Right. You can't teach it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've taken photography classes. I have taught photography classes. I've taken, you know, people out, just basically show them the basics. What I won't do is, like, take a little kid out on a nature trail, you know, just for the liability and stuff. But I offered to take them and their parents if they want to learn about photography.
Sure.
But I'm out there 99.9% of the time alone.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that's how I like it. And I always get the jokes, well, how about if I carry your camera equipment? I just look at them and go, you're only going to slow me down.
I was just wondering, the whole financial planning, and that's a very organized sport, if you will. You know, how is it that those two connect?
They don't at all. One is one part of your brain, and one is total other. The only thing I can tell you is most photographers and artists I meet are not businessmen.
Yeah, so when someone's
talking to me and they find out what I do, they usually talk to me a little bit different.
that really piqued my curiosity when you said that, because that was out of left field. I never expected you would say that.
I learned something long ago that the wind blows for free.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. Dane, let me ask you this question, because we're talking a little bit about the thaw that's going on. And I would imagine one of the interesting things about this time of year is that there is in nature the reemergence of a number of different animals that perhaps you didn't see during the winter and haven't been around, but they might just make an emergence this time of year, and you can capture them on film. Are there animals like that? And if so, what are they?
Number one that was going to surprise you is the wolverine.
Really? Where?
Let me finish. Number two is the polar bear. And the place I go to see them is the zoo.
Yeah, okay.
I got some photos of a wolverine this year climbing a tree. I never knew they climbed a tree. But one thing it taught me is if I see one, don't be trying to get away in the tree.
Yeah.
I never knew wolverines climbed trees. And I sat there one day at the zoo, it's freezing out, and I go there, and wolverines, you know, they don't come out that often, but I got lucky. This thing starts circling this tree, start climbing it, and I sat there for an hour watching them, shooting, of course, photos. But I'm going, whoa, I had no clue.
And I suppose the message you got from the polar bear is just that you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see them out. They're huge animals. When you see them in the winter. But the thing that's beautiful I love in the winter is like zebras in the snow or a coyote that you see or a black squirrel where they don't, you know, in the snow they look a lot different than when you see them with no snow.
Sure, sure.
And I shot video and photos of I believe you're going to help me on this one. It's a pileated woodpecker.
You're not going to get it from this company. Sorry.
Well, it's whatever woodpecker it is, it's like 3 or 4 feet tall. I was in the woods 2 weeks ago. I shot photos of one going up a tree and making a hole on it. I shot photos and video. I put them both on Facebook so people could see it. And people were shocked and go, wow, I've not seen this before.
I definitely want to have the audience see your Facebook and any pictures that you might have. What is literally the easiest way that these people that are listening can kind of share in some of your experiences?
Probably to Google my name, Dane, D-A-N-E, Gusson, G like in George, U-S-S like in Sam, I-N. But like I tell kids when they can't remember it, don't be fussing with Dane Gusson. And I have a company, its name is Dane's World, D-A-N-E-S. W-O-R-L-D. I think that's how Dane's World is spelled.
Uh-huh.
And if you Google me, I'm sure, you know, I'll pop up, add me to Facebook or go to my YouTubes, and everything's free. Enjoy yourself, you know.
Well, and one of the other places where people can see your work that I'd like to have you talk about, Dane, is your healing arts program that is currently on display at Henry Ford Hospital. Can you share that story?
Sure. I spoke to them about a year ago, Henry Ford Hospital. They have a healing arts department where I feel, through people writing me letters and stuff, that there's a synergy between nature photography and the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
I shot something in the Pacific Northwest. It was in Mount Rainier in that area, and I had a blues musician, Paul Miles, put something together with me, and I put it on YouTube. And I had a lady with MS write me a note that she watched it, and it made her feel better. It kind of relaxed her, made her feel better. And she was shocked because the musician sent me the note, and I called her on the phone, and she and I talked for like 5-10 minutes, and she was just excited that I called her. I couldn't thank her enough for letting me know. But it just convinced me that. And I went into Henry Ford, and I saw they had displays of a healing arts program, so I contacted them. They contacted me. They looked at my photos, and I sent them like 100 to look at, and they picked 9. And there's 9 huge photos up on the wall right now. And I had an opening, I think it was Saturday, where a lot of my friends came out and looked at it. And it's going to run till April 28th. And this is the Henry Ford West Bloomfield. It's on West Maple between Drake and Halstead. If people, you know, want to check out some of my photography, I mean, these are 4x5 foot photos. Feel free to stop by.
Fantastic. Dane, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on the show, and hopefully we will continue to observe your work and be able to chat about it again.
And I thank you, and, you know, keep taking care of all those people who love animals.
Yeah, hey, thank you so much.
That's what we're about. We've been talking this morning with Dane Gussin, who is a photojournalist and wildlife photographer. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation about the thaw and deal with some of the issues that animals can be affected by in terms of health-related issues right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS.com.
And they called it puppy love.